Hey, you know how Black Friday sales are the best savings of the year? Well, what if we told you Wayfair's bringing Black Friday to July? That's right. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is Black Friday in July. And it's on its way. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, way more doorbuster deals on top products and 24-hour surprise flash deals. Oh, and did we mention free shipping on everything? Everything. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer and the best time to make your home even more you. But it only lasts 5 days, so don't miss out. Mark your calendars, then head to Wayfair for up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the summer. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale, July 24th through 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
Karen Reed's highly anticipated murder trial. It's not that far away. A judge ruled just this last week that there is no need for a special hearing to determine whether defense hired cell phone expert Richard Green can testify. Norfolk Superior Court Judge Beverly Cano made the decision after hearing arguments from both the prosecution and defense, setting the stage for a critical ruling on Green's role in the case. Reed, of course, is accused of striking her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe, with her SUV and leaving him to die in the snowbank on January 29th of 2022 after a night of drinking. She has pled not guilty, claiming she is a victim of a law enforcement cover-up and that O'Keefe was fatally beaten inside a nearby Canton home before his body was left outside. Okay, I think before we continue in with the story, it's good just to kind of set our sights here on where everybody is on this case. I'm kind of in the middle still. I do think she hit him. I don't think it was intentional. I think it was a horrible accident. I don't know that she even remembers it. I don't buy the story that these officers beat him up. I believe that there's a lot of corruption in that system, as we've already seen in the Sandra Birchmore case and other pieces of this case. So I don't think everybody's really on the up and up, but I don't think that they killed O'Keefe and tried to set her up in a spur-of-the-moment, you know, murder. And I don't think she should ever have been charged with murder. It should have been manslaughter at the worst. Or, you know, drunk driving in a homicide. I don't know what the charge would be, but something where, you know, let's let, you know, John lie in peace a little bit and not cause this insane upheaval that we've seen over the last many years now in Canton. Your thoughts?
I agree. I think this case has gotten out of hand. I think some big mistakes were made. Somebody paid the price with their life.
Yeah.
I don't think there was this huge conspiracy to kill this man. I think it was accidental. And Karen Reed's paying the price, yeah, as she should for, you know, drunken driving.
Yeah.
But I just don't think it was this humongous conspiracy to take down an officer, and I'm not seeing it. Now, what the case has shown was what looks like corruption within mm-hmm. the police force and some really unethical behavior with Michael Proctor. Mm-hmm. Haven't heard much about him recently, but we will.
Yeah.
So, you know, in a way, the death was tragic and horrible, but hopefully there's some silver lining to it, that maybe some corruption has been revealed.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. The thing is, the damage has been done to this community, and that's yeah. not going to be fixed anytime soon. Prosecutors had pushed for a hearing to examine Green's credentials and methodology, with Special Prosecutor Hank Brennan arguing that Green's claims were unreliable and lack any evidentiary support. Defense Attorney Robert Alessi pushed back, arguing that Green is qualified to use 5 forensic tools to reach his conclusions. Karen Reed's defense attorney, this is him, Robert Alessi. Let's take a look at what he is trying to argue there in court.
So to me, it is rather odd right off the jump that there's no challenge to 5 other areas of data forensics, and there's just this challenge to one aspect of his whole testimony and opinions. I have provided Your Honor with two exhibits demonstrative in support of my oral argument. Exhibit one is entitled Digital Forensics Methodology Regarding Subject Artifact, and Exhibit two is entitled Digital Forensic Product Tools Used by Witnesses. The Commonwealth has agreed to my use of those exhibits. They had some, I agreed to theirs. And I would like to, Your Honor, use those in a moment. The Commonwealth, in its oral argument, said 10 times just now that there's no methodology and that Mr. Green does not articulate a methodology. That is incredible to me because the opposition and Mr. Green's affidavit, in fact, are replete with the methodology. And here is the key, Your Honor. While Mr. Brennan challenges the methodology, none of his witnesses, neither Mr. Whiffen nor Ms. Hyde, challenge the methodology. As a matter of fact, in their two reports, neither of them even describe Mr. Green's methodology, nor do they challenge it. And of course they can't, because it's the same exact methodology that they use. And that's what I would like to go to now. Exhibit one is entitled Digital Forensics Methodology Regarding Subject Artifact, J. McCabe iPhone Data. And I prepared this. This is just what's in our opposition. It's in Mr. Green's affidavit, but it summarizes what the methodology is that we're talking about here. What is that methodology? Step one, you receive, and this is to answer the question about what is the proper interpretation of the artifact in question that everybody agrees is the artifact.
And for that, you'd probably, go to the company that actually gets this data and can interpret it and see what they say, because they make the fucking program.
Yeah.
And they can take a look at it far better than someone's expert opinion. The only expert on that is going to be someone from that company, unless it's someone that's left that company and knows exactly how it works. So they did that. They got the person from Cellbrite, even like testifying. And Cellbrite is the company that they're getting the data from, the piece in question, as he's saying. And they said, look, here's how this works. I know y'all think it said this other time, but the way the system marks and logs times is not that. If you take a deeper look at it, you can see clearly, here's how this works, that the timestamp, which they were arguing was at 2-something, really is later in the morning. Was it 6 or 5 or something? Whatever it was. And this is how and this is why. This is why you might have been confused, because on the surface, without a deeper level of knowledge of how this system works, or really having the inability to retrieve that information yourselves, it does look like that. But here's the reality. Sorry that doesn't go along with your story, but it's not part of your story, because it never has been truly an accurate piece of evidence to base your story on. So here's what it is. And that's where we have the problem. That's where it's the Karen Reed side going, well, we're still right. Why would you still be right? They just explained it to you. If it was the opposite and the other side was claiming the same thing, it would be the same thing. Go with facts, go with your strongest source. And I don't think you're going to get any stronger than the actual company telling you this is exactly how it works and this is how it should be interpreted. It's not really up for debate. Plus, if you just look at it logically, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and they're giving you the user's manual to their software. You can't just come in from the outside going, well, I think it does this, when the actual engineers of the software go, no, it doesn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like,
you can say it as many times as you'd like. It doesn't make it true.
It's like somebody has a brand new laptop today, super high-end, has all sorts of shit, and you have some, I'm a computer tech. Oh, really? Okay, well, can you help me fix this problem? Hang on, let me get out my guide to the gateway Windows 95 computer I got back 30 years ago. I'm guessing this will probably help. Like, I probably won't, because it's not the same thing at all. Well, look, this manual says it's for a computer. It's not the same sort of thing, though. But it is! And it's just, it's the digging in. I get her attorneys are going to try and cause confusion. They're not stupid people. I believe deep down they know what reality is here. That they know that they're just trying to argue this because they have to argue this. But it's not a strong piece, because without this piece, well, it is. Without this piece, a lot of their case goes, you know, up in the air. And at Karen Reed's own hands, she's the one who's made the comments about possibly hitting him, or just flat out saying, I hit him, and depending what tone you want to say it was. Look, it is what it is. It's horrible that this happened. I don't think, at this point, just end the trial, let her go, and everybody try and heal up your relationships, for the love of God. This is another one where people are so dug in that they will not simply look at reality. I've looked at both sides. There's just nothing that really supports that there's this big fight in the house, other than the fact that they did not go in and investigate the house. I get that.
But yeah, that was a mistake.
That was a mistake. But at the same point, they were also looking at this as a hit and run. So you're not necessarily at every hit and run do you go and investigate the home that they were going to be going into either. I kind of get how it was missed, but I'm a layperson. I would think if you're an investigator, you might, you know, wheels might be spinning a little bit better than just mine. Just weeks before the trial investigation discovery will air a Body in the Snow, the trial of Karen Reed, a 3-night docuseries offering unprecedented access to Reed, her legal team, and key figures in the case. The series, which will delve into the investigation and trial proceedings, will premiere on March 17th and 18th from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. with a 1-hour finale on March 19th. At 9 p.m., it'll also be available to stream on Max. So that's right before the trial, if we go on time, which I'm doubting. With tensions high and the battle over forensic evidence heating up, Reed is set to return to court on April 1st. Both sides are preparing for a very fierce legal battle. Judge Cano ruled that a special hearing was unnecessary. She has not yet decided whether Green's testimony will be allowed at trial. Green is that digital forensic expert previously testified that Jennifer McCabe, who was with Reed the night of O'Keefe's death, Googled house long to die in cold around 2:30 a.m. The prosecution has maintained that McCabe only made the search hours later at Reed's request after O'Keefe's body was discovered. Green also stated that McCabe had deleted call records, a claim that could prove crucial to Reed's third-party defense. And again, you go back to Selbright. Did she delete anything? No, it does not appear she deleted anything. And you've got the guy that thinks it happened at this other time, too? Yes, we have the guy that thinks it happened at the other time. And the people who actually make the phone, who have no dog in this fight, what do they say? That things were not deleted and that it actually happened at a different time. Yeah. Okay, well, let's go with the guy who's 2 for 2 in the negative here. The problem, and this is why Judge Cano should not let the defense's cell phone expert in, because he's not an expert on this. Because you're not going to beat the other expert. It's not a game of who can make a better argument in court and who's going to be more vivacious and convincing. It's fact. This is just data. No one needs to really testify. It could just be a statement from the company saying, here, this is what it is.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a lot of time being spent on this. They're going to want to drag this out.
Oh, I know. I know. And it's just going to be, that's the sad part, because we're not arguing facts then in court. If they let the other expert in and give his opinion or his expert opinion, that's confusing as shit to a jury. And I'm all about it if something is truly in question, not when you actually can have hard data to support your answer. There's plenty of things where you want an expert in for blood splatter or whatever. There's plenty of things that there's no data that's going to 1,000% say you're right or you're right. You want to hear both arguments and how they came to it. In this one, where's the argument? Like, other than you don't like what the reality of the timestamp is. I get it. You really invested a lot of time and energy into this, thinking that that's it. And I know you don't want to admit that's wrong, but it's wrong. Just it is.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. This is just a colossal waste of everybody's time at this point.
The prosecution also sought to block another defense expert, Dr. Marie Russell, for testifying. But Canoe rejected that effort after two lengthy hearings. Russell has testified that wounds found on O'Keefe's arm were consistent with dog bites, contradicting the prosecution's claim that he was struck by Reed's vehicle. And by the way, her expert in dog bites is she worked in an ER for a long time and didn't. She's not a dog bite expert. Again, no. an opinion. You know what it also looks like? Road rash. I mean, to me it does. I remember, like, you know, falling off my bike and you get your arm like there. And yeah, and if you're looking at it and go, if you're a kid especially, it looks like Dracula bit me or something. And it's just stones that happen to be next to each other that did that. Again, I'm not going to say it's not a dog bite. I don't believe it's Chloe the dog. I actually would think far more likely the forest behind the house has a lot of coyotes in it. They'd been having problems with coyotes in the neighborhood, actually, as well. And if you're just a man out there dying in the cold, coyotes will come and take a look. They don't like other people around, and it was a night where there were not a lot of people around, so they do kind of wander around neighborhoods. We have them here. It's really kind of freaky to watch them in your Ring doorbell cameras at night, because it's like, what the fuck are they doing? They're just like having a field day while nobody's watching.
Seriously?
Yes. So this does happen, and they probably got scared away when one of the vehicles came and went, and still nobody noticed John O'Keefe was lying there. Again, they're all drinking. I can understand how this could happen. I think it was a fucking coyote. That's, yeah, I know me and Bob Mata are both on that one. That's what is logical to me. Or did somebody let the dog out to go potty at some point? And did the dog run over there and maybe bite a little bit? And then that looks pretty fucking bad. But not that Chloe attacked him, but more so was sniffing around the body in the front yard when somebody, go potty. And they go have more drinks. Oh, is the dog still out? Yeah, let's bring him back in. Dog comes back in, you're none the wiser. I could see that one too. Again, lots of scenarios, lots of things we don't know, because I think there is one side just not wanting to admit reality and the other side trying to cover up things that may look suspect and some things that are suspect that you shouldn't have done. And but not covering up the actual murder. That's...
Yeah. Complicated situation this whole thing is. It's what a mess.
Yeah. The legal wrangling over the expert witnesses is far from over. On Thursday, Canoe is expected to hear arguments on whether two FBI or DOJ accident reconstructionists, Andrew Rentschner and Daniel Wolf, can testify in Reed's retrial. Rentschner previously testified that O'Keefe's injuries were not consistent with being hit by a car, a key claim that challenges the state's case against him. Prosecutor Brennan has argued that Reed's defense team will not be able to meet discovery obligations under Rule 14, citing the history and complexity of the expert's employment. The outcome of Thursday's hearing could have some significant implications on the retrial as the defense continues to challenge the prosecution's forensic evidence and investigative methods. Adding to the highlighted public interest, investigations discovery, like I said, set to premiere right before the trial is supposed to take place. Again, I'm kind of thinking may not be an April 1st trial date, but who knows? Anything is possible. They seem like they're pretty gearing up to do this. And with all the hearings that we've been having, but the more hearings you have, the more things that can rise up for question and more time that decisions need to be made. And then ultimately, you just gotta kind of keep pushing it back for the fairness of both sides.
Yeah, we certainly saw that in the Adelson trial. They were all set to go and then something popped up in a hearing and it was like, oh, never mind. Just kidding. Gonna be a while.
Yeah, it popped up that the the attorney for Donna was also connected with Charlie, and that it was a conflict of interest. Like, they didn't know that already.
Right.
And then suddenly, oh, you just bought yourself half a year, Donna. There's a lot of interesting things in that case, too, that we're following. She's there's interesting claims that she's the whole family's being framed. It's a weird case. Everybody's being framed, but who's being framed and who's not being framed? Is this a case? Is the Adelson case one of those where, you know, there is some darkness here, but it's not quite as dark as we think it is right away. It appears that way, but when you dig a little bit deeper, did it really go that way? Did it go just as dark as we think it did? I don't know. Charlie Adelson is an interesting character. He does not strike me as someone who ordered the hit or was extremely complicit other than being in a really shitty relationship with a shitty girl and should have gotten out of it. I do wonder if there was some, for some people, you know, hanging something over someone's head and saying, you know, we got you and you're doing this. I think the question of who's going down for who is a big part in this story, because I don't know that every person in this mix of that case was complicit with having Dan Markell killed.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it really is a juxtaposition with the Karen Reed situation, yeah, where it just doesn't seem like this was a setup. This was just it just feels accidental, where the Adelson, yeah, case is like, oh, there's a whole lot of setup over there.
I don't think it's equal guilt across the lines. I don't think they all sat down and, you know, got out the game of Scrabble and then suddenly decided and cooked up a plan to kill him. I don't think they're that smart. I don't think that it would have made a whole lot of sense. I mean, the hitmen it was all just so rough and just, mm-hmm, so shittily done that it just, I don't know. I feel like, Maybe this is, again, I'm not saying I believe this, but you know, maybe there was something there of, you know, oh, you want this man dead? We'll get him. Like, no, I mean, I'm not really saying do it. And then all of a sudden it's done. And it comes back to Charlie and it comes back to Donna that they killed him. And like, we didn't really order this. We were just talking about it. Like, ooh, wouldn't it, you know, it'd be easier if they were dead. You know, just people talk and say stupid shit. And then the hit
went
out.
Little buyer's remorse.
Well, not saying that they even bought it. I'm saying more so that then these people who carried out the hit thought, this is a fucking rich family. There's a lot of money we can extort out of these people. And we can tell the story that they ordered the hit and we're doing our job. You know, that's what they wanted from us when they maybe never really did, just were kind of like contemplating it, or maybe even not really that far. Just like I said, people speaking out loud, and they thought, hey, we can take advantage of this family and we can hold this over their heads forever and get money and get money and get money and get money. Unfortunately, everybody got caught. And so that didn't work out so well. I don't know. I could see there being an angle like that to this case.
And there very well could be. It'll be interesting to watch this play out.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, just get some overzealous, you know, nutcase out there that's, you know, it's a criminal that, you know, thinks has no conscience would do that. I could see it. Seen crazier shit. But that would be a very interesting twist to this case. It really would be. So anyway, that's another one. You can follow it here on our channel. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.